So nefarious. So nefarious. Get it?
Octavarius. So nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh. He'll make you cry. But most importantly, he's going to save your life.
He'll let him speak for himself. He's got a lot to say.
And now,
ask him.
Hello, ladies. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome to the Octavarius podcast. This is podcast episode number 97.
Oh, my God. We're so close. Beautiful.
We're gonna make some pies for 100.
century pies, they call them. Oh, God. It'll all make sense.
Guys, remember that time capsule we made on our first podcast and we buried it under the living room floor and we said we'd only open it if we got to 100 podcasts?
Yeah, but then the neighbors changed and I think they took it with them.
Yeah. Bummer. We'll never know what we wanted us to be when we were then.
Yeah.
Wait, we should have put what we wanted to talk about in there. Let's just go back in time and do that.
Okay, let's just go do that. Hey, without further ado, let's go to the far end of the room and sound off.
Hey, it's Nick.
Hey, it's Scott.
Hi, it's LP.
Hey, it's Castelvi.
Hey, it's Lauren.
Hi, it's Mark.
Hi, it's Tins.
Hi, it's Keith.
Hey, it's Brian.
Hi, it's Cloud.
Wow. And I want to say, first of all, thank you all for coming to the first of our Die Hard trilogy. It was...
If you're listening live, of course.
Yeah. If you're not, then...
Fuck you.
What? No, thanks for downloading.
If you're not, thank you for coming to both our first two Die Hard
trilogies. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
And, oh, shoot. Oh, boy.
Shooty, shoot.
I forgot that mail. I forgot the box of mail. I forgot the mailbox.
Comes in a box?
Yeah. You know, the mailbox.
Oh, wait, no. I have it right here.
Oh. Open it up.
Sure.
It's recognizable this time, at least.
This one comes to us.
Mikula does not look pleased by that.
This one comes to us from one Chevy Chase.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Chevy? You must, you,
Chevy. Chevy.
Oh, I don't know. I just read it. Okay. Could be either.
Loved you and Fletch.
It's not him.
And he says, hey, have you guys ever gone anywhere for a Christmas vacation?
Wink.
Also, do you know of any acting work? I am looking.
Maybe it is him.
Community, man.
Hey, he's on Community.
Chevy Chase does.
He's
well, as will be on hiatus. And Hiotis.
Hi, Otis.
You're a great drunk.
Also, you guys loved those first two Die Hard shows. Or first Die Hard. He's very confused. He must have peeked in the time capsule. And also, what is up with that?
Glad he likes the show.
Yeah,
that's good.
Big fan.
So we're talking about failed acting careers.
Oh,
I love Chevy Chase. I love Chevy Chase.
I like Chevy Chase, but he's supposed to be quite the dick. Yeah. Apparently.
Or at least he was in the past.
I think it's more he thinks he's being funny, and then it's just not funny.
So he's an asshole. Understood.
Yeah.
During one of the improv shows we did. Fucked up charades, and I had to be Chevy Chase to Brian, and I had trouble doing it, and I did the classic Saturday Night Live thing where I said, I'm Chevy Chase, I don't know if it's gibberish, but I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not, which he famously did, which he, I guess, thought would be funny, but it came across as just...
Well, that was a classic sign. Yeah, he was a great Weekend Update guy.
I forget who it was, but it was another... A fellow improviser, but he's more famous now, and I guess he went to do something with Chevy Chase, and Chevy slapped him in the face, thinking that it was funny, and nobody thought it was funny.
Oops!
And the guy ended up just getting slapped in the face, and so then Chevy was embarrassed, but had to commit to his action, like most.
Was this in an improv scene?
It was.
Or was this just them hanging out?
It was. I think it was like he was trying to do a bit, but it wasn't on camera. They were. It was like to make the other folks in the room laugh. And nobody laughed, and everybody felt weird. Chevy Chase also just was kind of a dick to a lot of people on Saturday Night Live when he returned.
Even well, even on Community, he's very good in Community. But I've listened to a bunch of podcasts, so I've heard podcast interviews from a lot of the cast of Community, and you know they never say anything explicitly negative about working with Chevy Chase, but you can always tell there's this hesitation that suggests it's still really hard to work with the guy.
Well,
he's I looked up Chevy Chase. Dick, and so things.
Bing or Google?
I Google because you fixed it on your laptop, and so that now this is some sort of.
There goes all those bung jokes.
Yeah, bung.
Oh, they'll be around.
They'll be back. They'll be back. I can just do Bing just for the joke, but apparently he's a dick. This is a very long story that, about him being a dick that I'm gonna have to read and get back to you on. So enjoy.
He was like my hero growing up.
Your hero?
Like I watched all those National Lampoon Vacation movies.
And what a role model he was.
Vegas Vacation is great.
Well, and he reminded me of my dad, and my mom would always, because he kind of looks like Chevy Chase. And
your dad?
Yeah.
My dad does too.
Really? Yeah. Maybe they're
doesn't really? Everyone's dad probably not. Look like Chevy Chase?
No. Mine looks like Carl Hanratty.
Mine looks like Danny Trejo.
He looks like Carl Hanratty.
My dad looks like me.
But so you enjoyed the vacation movies?
Yeah, I can see that, Lauren. Like, I never, and of course I do this now because I'm just more aware of things. But when I was a kid, I never like associated like a character in a movie to a real person. I just thought the character was the real person growing up. So I'm like, well, that's what they must be like in real life.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like that's just how I figured. So mm-hmm. Chevy Chase is always just like a blunderbuss.
Yeah,
I love
the great description.
The Civil War era rifle.
Yeah.
Please say the Three Amigos.
That's fun too. But my favorite Chevy Chase movie with Dan Aykroyd is Spies Like Us.
Oh yeah,
that's a great movie.
That was like the thing. The first thing I saw him in, and I own it on DVD. I watch it like maybe like twice a year. I think it's one of the I don't know what it's kind of poking fun at James Bond movies. That's probably why I like it. Mm-hmm. But it's just funny. If you haven't seen it, watch it.
I'll watch it with you next time.
Yeah. We should. I love that movie. It's great.
You can do a Chevy Chase marathon and then slap each other and think that someone will find it funny.
I like this plan.
But if I'm there, I'll find it funny.
If there was another spy and they were all friends, you could call them Three Amigos. Cloud.
Oh, I'm just going to talk about how I think it's a great movie. I like it a lot.
Good discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. Glad that happened.
Have you guys ever gone anywhere for Christmas?
Always.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I've come to hate traveling so far for Christmas now. I always go to Hilton Head Island in South Carolina. So the ordeal.
Does your family is a family property that you guys own, or do you rent the same place every year?
We own it and we rent it out during the year, and so we have to go down there. But there's two reasons why it sucks. I mean, there's things that are good about it. It's a nice little place. There's really nothing for anyone my age to do there.
Where is Hilton Head?
It's just off the coast of South Carolina. It's just like north of. It's around Savannah, Georgia. Right. If you go straight east from Savannah, you'll go to Hilton Head.
Where? Why?
Because that's where my parents liked to vacation when we lived in Tennessee, and that's where a lot of people in the Midwest will vacation, like that lower Midwest area. And in the South, they go there. It's a nice little plain island. There's a lot of beaches. It's very fun. It's very tame. Mostly, I'd say it's very tame.
There's no like 4 a.m. raves or something like that?
What? Yeah. No, yeah, like a couple, bars. But you know. So my parents bought a condo there a long time ago, and then it got really, really popular because the PGA has one of their tournaments there. Mm. And it's the one, if you've ever watched golf a lot, on the 18th hole, it leads to a lighthouse, and it's along water. That is Hilton Head. And it became a huge, huge, booming golf place to go. So there's a ton of golfers that go. And we have a little condo that's on the green. But anyway, the reasons it sucks are, A, it takes, you know, 18 hours to drive there, or 16 to 18 hours to drive. And my parents drive because we normally take stuff down there for reason number two, that it sucks. If I'm going there, it means I'm working on fixing up the condo so that it meets the standards of being rented out. So I'm traveling a huge amount of time and being very burdened with going very far or flying there, driving there, however it takes the whole day, just to go there and do slave labor for 4 days before I come home. So it's really fun.
Although I went with you, Keith, to Hilton Head once in the summer, and if I recall, didn't we, to ease the massive drive, didn't we NyQuil time travel for half of it?
Yeah, you stay up all night and you take NyQuil right before you get in the car.
Oh, that sounds like a really bad idea.
Why?
Did you drive at all?
No. My dad drives.
Oh.
We just slept.
I thought you guys were just going together.
Yeah.
So here, okay.
Yeah, man, I think that's put a bomb awesome in the car idea. Somewhere, but we didn't tell ourselves where.
Yeah, we just slept in the back seat, and when we woke up, we were several states away, and we were parked like at a McDonald's.
Yeah. And that's wonderful. Still what I do, but it doesn't make it any better, especially now that we take the dog, and the dog's a black lab, and it's huge, and isn't tamed at all, so it's ridiculous. It's awful. It's just awful. So I have to go do that again. It's good that I get to see my brothers, and all our family gets to have Christmas morning together, but past that, it's not very enjoyable. And then if I'm not working, I'm really bored, because everything closes down, especially Christmas time, at about 7. So there's nothing to do. And not only is there nothing to do, there's nothing to do, and I'm nowhere near my friends at all. I'm very far from my friends, so it's really lousy.
I actually had a similar... Like, I went on a really wonderful vacation, but the family stuff was only... You know, it was, like, Christmas morning, and then, like, dinner that night, and then the rest of it, I was like... Normally, this would be the time where, like, I get to play those video games, or where, like, I call my friends, and we all talk about, like, what we got for Christmas, and, like, watch movies. But instead, we just, like, sat around. So vacationing sucks.
Yeah, it's just that you're not in your place where you know how to normally operate.
Yeah, you're out of your element.
And sure, I get to go eat at fairly nice restaurants. I don't have to pay for it. I get to go to the beach, I guess, and it's 45 degrees. That's thrilling.
So when you guys were kids, were you concerned that Santa would Santa get to you in time?
Oh yeah, I was super concerned.
I wrote him letters every day in December. And I had made my parents send them out because I'm like, I'm going to Cleveland. Find me.
Like, yeah, like, that's a major concern for most children that I grew up with that had to go away. They were like, how is Santa going to find me?
Follow the napkin map.
We had no chimney in Hilton Head. There's no fireplace.
We had two fireplaces.
My dad's like, he comes to the front door.
That's what my dad said. I was like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, like, what?
Oh, he's got a key. What the fuck? Why does he come through the chimney?
Well, yeah, and it's also like, well, we'll leave the door unlocked. I'm like, then someone can come in and steal our presents.
So he just breaks into the house?
My dad
totally effed that up because he was like, he comes in the door. Well, actually, no, maybe it's the window. Like, he just waffled on it for like half a day.
Oh, no.
He haggled you on it.
He comes out of the parents' bedroom. I mean,
let me check with some people at work very quickly. Tell your kids.
Did you guys hear about Robin Robinson ruining Santa Claus for people?
No.
I showed this to Keith the other day. Chicago, you know Robin Jordan? Robinson, the famous Chicago news anchor?
Mm-hmm.
Robin Robinson. Well, what happened was her co-anchor, her current co-anchor is Bob Surratt. And Bob did an opinion piece where he was talking about how to explain how mall Santas are being trained to tell kids not to be so materialistic. Just to be like, you know, hey, maybe mom and dad can't get this this year for you. You know, maybe...
Like a dad sometimes.
Yeah. You know, or maybe Santa can do this. So as Bob Surratt was talking about that, just saying that mall Santas do this, because kids can excuse that mall Santas aren't real,
Well, even that's a tough sell, because what are they saying? No, they're elves. Oh, I'm Santa's elves.
No, but,
No, those are just fake Santas.
And then Robin Robinson responded, because he goes back to the desk after he finishes his piece, and then Robin Robinson is like, you know what the real problem is? Telling kids that there's this fictional man that'll do this. And she was like, just tell him, I'm sorry, there is no Santa. There's your mom and dad, and they love you, and they get you gifts. If you lie to them, that is where the problem is. I just don't understand.
Oh, my God.
But she said it with a smile on her face. You know, it was just her talking with Bob.
There are children watching.
Well, that's the thing. I wasn't thinking about that. It's the Fox Chicago News at 9.
I really doubt there are that many children
watching.
I would watch the news.
So yeah, this is the Fox Chicago News at 9.
I fucking hated watching.
So she said it.
My mom made me watch.
She said it about 9:40 at night, so there were children up.
The ones old enough to doubt.
Letters and emails and calls just rushed into Fox. Wow. And it was a tremendous controversy. So the next night, they did another piece where instead of Bob doing the piece, it was Robin. And Robin, I think it's called like Your Voice or something like that, because they also interview people on the street. And they also get emails on the topic, and they have phone calls. So Robin Robinson had to go out on the streets of Chicago and say to random folks, I ruined Santa Claus for some children. Here is what I did. What do you think of that? And she had to, like,
what did they
hear
say?
People were terrible to her. People were just terrible to her.
And she's such a sweetheart. Well, she looks it.
What year is this?
This was just like a week ago.
No way.
Fucking
yeah, it was on Huffington Post like a week or two ago. You know, Huffington Post who says that we're young and hip. Thank you, Huffington Post.
Yeah.
I'm surprised no one that they did a follow up and then like furthered.
She apologized and they had a warning, and she said a warning beforehand and said, "I feel so silly that I did not think about how many children watch the news." Because as you guys started to say, as I was telling the story, many of you sat with your parents and watched the news, right?
Yeah. Well, even if not that, the news might have been what was on after The Simpsons,
right?
Or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You want to stay up, so you just stay up and watch.
Or you're in the other room, finishing up your homework. Like,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Making you go to the kitchen.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, one thing that made me just go apeshit was on the same news program, Fox Chicago. They had a weatherman. Named Harry Volkman, who is very old, and every time there is anything with wind moving a system in the map, he would go whoosh. So for Christmas Eve, that news broadcast, he did a radar of the area and said that the weather is clear for Santa, and he said that you can track Santa on the radar.
Yeah, that
coming.
Was always
so
a cool.
Children get to bed. Because Santa is on his way.
What if Santa is moving through a terrible storm for us?
He would talk about that and
really?
Say, like, children, you need to get to bed. Santa is in a hurry. You know, and I just fucking love that.
There's, like, trackers online. My little cousins will check
Santa
in
tracker.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, my aunt and uncle will be like, oh, Santa is, you know, in this state right now. That means, you know, it's, like, T-minus as many hours till he gets to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. How long have we had the Santa
so
tracker system?
I'm on it.
Probably 10 years, I would guess.
I'm going to investigate.
Domino's so long.
We've
been using it.
Domino's has a real thing.
Oh,
that they're tracking.
You. Oh, okay.
You.
Just
sorry to ruin it for you, Nick.
Chat room.
Is that what makes it harder?
I have a Fox, more Fox News facts. Bob Surratt actually voices the mine ride thing in Museum of Science and Industry. Says RJ.
Bob Surratt's done a bunch in Chicago. He was radio guy, news guy.
Not sure if he's Jewish yet.
Fox in the Morning with Bob Surratt and Marianne Murciano.
That's his wife.
That's his wife. Really?
That's his wife. They have been married for years.
That's why she got pregnant. She stopped.
I just went to SantaClaus.net, which is the Santa tracker that you were at. It's like Google Earth for Santa, and he's right now he's in the North Pole.
That's
what
prepping.
It looks
Come
like
back.
A concentration camp. Is from
how
no,
dare
I'm sorry.
You?
Look at it. It's like there's
how
like bugs right here.
I don't get Santa, and then now it's a concentration.
You don't want to get Santa if it's a concentration camp.
Oh my goodness. But look at it. Does that not, like, it's from above? What the fuck do you think this is? Go to SantaClaus.net, RJ. You'll see. He's there. RJ's there.
Go to the kids
listening to the podcast.
We never said yes or no. We just said Robin Robinson got into some trouble.
Oh, I can say zoom it. In. Shit, this website's awesome.
Did you guys like having Santa?
Oh, I had a great time. My favorite was when I kind of got over it, I would still play, because Christopher was still a little into it. And I would be like, did I ever tell you when I saw him?
I saw
him as he was leaving. He was leaving our front door. This was like 3 years ago, Chris. I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want to wake you up. And he played into it. My uncle did that to me all the time. Oh, me and Santa hung out the other night. He was sleeping. Oh, yeah. I woke up. He was there eating milk and cookies. He told him about all your presents. He said you were bad this, so you didn't get this present, but he got you plenty of other ones.
Played with your Game Boy for a little while.
I remember I had this kind of rich friend in like first grade named Brittany, and her family would hire someone, I think, to dress up as Santa, like just show up at their Christmas party. Do you guys?
I remember
did that, and I regret. I was almost going to do it last year, and I regret. I couldn't do it for some odd reason.
It's not necessarily a rich people thing.
Well, this happened.
The quality Santa, I guess, changes. Yeah. Some people on a budget get Nick.
This happened one time. One of my Christmases, a Santa was there, and I remember being excited. But then, like, they were there the whole Christmas night dinner. So, like, at about like the 2-3 hour mark, I just saw Santa in the back with like my uncles just drinking a beer.
Oh my god!
Like, obviously not Santa, and I was just like, why does he just get to be on break?
Also, like, how conceited is it? Like, Santa spends 4 hours at your family's Christmas?
Oh, shit, I gotta go.
I didn't even think of that. That was, like, furthest.
I had a great surprise, Santa, and I feel like I said this maybe last Christmas on the podcast.
It's okay, it's been a year.
Yeah, there was we were at home Christmas Eve, and just hanging out, family. This is one of the times we were still in Tennessee, and we heard a knock, like someone rang the doorbell, and opened the door, and it's Santa. And my parents seemed equally befuddled as to who it was. But he drove like a red truck, and there was a red truck parked in front of the house, and it was just Santa. And he was just saying, hey. And he said hey to us, and he like came in the entranceway for a bit, and we hung out. He's like, yeah, just making my rounds, just saying, making sure all the kids are at their home, so they don't need to. You know, sometimes people go on vacation, so you gotta make sure they're home. So.
That's awesome. Sounds like a burglar.
But then, like, years later, my parents are like, yeah, I don't know who that was. We didn't invite him. Yeah. We don't know who that is.
That's hilarious.
It was just some dude showed up.
Who knew where all the kids' houses were.
Yeah.
played the part of Santa.
Yeah. Were your parents missing anything the day after?
Yeah. No, he never saw us without a, you know, he saw that there were a lot of people, and we had dogs that barked like crazy whenever someone rang the doorbell.
He only stayed there long enough to remember your face.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I love the idea that, like, your parents would open the door but just keep a shotgun trained on Santa the whole time.
That wouldn't be the strangest thing in the South. There's shotguns normally in the front, drawer, like the hallway table. Mm-hmm. So often we'll have, like, a drawer with a gun in it.
What?
You know what I'd
try by the door.
Okay, I was thinking about something that was said earlier. And I feel like I would rather have no Santa than mall Santa's curbing my dreams. Because how shitty would it be if you sat down with a mall Santa and you're like, dude, I totally want a Nintendo 3DS. And he was like, look, dude, your parents are civil servants.
They don't necessarily say it like that, Mark. But they're trained in sensitivity training.
Have you thought about blocks? The blocks with letters on them? You can make different words?
How about a nice football?
I have a football, Santa. You gave it to me.
Aww. Sounds like Mark wants a dreidel that only has winning sides.
No, he wants a Red Ryder BB gun.
Well, did any of the Jews get a Hanukkah Harry?
What? No.
You never heard of Hanukkah Harry?
I have not.
I have parents that love me and buy me presents.
What is this thing?
Hanukkah Harry.
It's Santa Claus for Jews, right?
Yeah.
God damn!
But he only gives like socks.
He gets
with
you like
presents
socks.
Under the menorah.
He doesn't have to be a dwarf.
So he's just a full sized right, Jewish I'll man.
You have Hanukkah Bush. You
need to watch
Harry.
Monica. He's not a John Lovitz made a great Hanukkah Harry. It's very funny.
If he's not like a dwarf man, he's just a stereotypical old Jew. I feel it's better to add in something that's not.
Do you want to come down the stairs and get your presents? My knees aren't so good anymore.
I don't think he's real. He says he's a fictional character on Saturday Night Live played by John Lovitz.
That's it. Parents, that's what I've been saying.
Yes.
Did your parents pawn that off as a as a real thing, though?
Yes.
Like, your parents are real?
They said that there was a Hanukkah Harry.
More for
but they
my,
stole it
my
from
kind
SNL.
Of cousin, actually, for a bit, grew up with a Hanukkah Harry. Yeah.
I see.
That's like my parents telling me that on St. Patrick's Day we're going to get visited by Goat Boy.
Yeah, Goat Boy, the mascot of St. Patrick's Day.
Whatever.
It's the 90s from SNL character.
Okay, did anyone else on St. Patrick's Day put out a pot and then there were coins in it in the morning?
No.
I did set a leprechaun trap.
Oh, a giant mouse trap.
I put a potato in a shoebox with a.
Hey, that's smart bait.
That is smart bait.
That is racist thinking.
Look at that potato. I just can't resist it.
Yeah.
Because they're sentient creatures with the ability
to reason.
What's
that potato doing in a shoebox?
I bet because St. Patrick's Day, he's like drunk as hell.
Yeah. It's awfully suspicious. But I'm so hungry.
I held up the shoebox with a ruler.
And you just stuffed the potato full of rat poison.
The idea is that the leprechaun would go and grab the potato, but somehow trip my highly sensitive ruler and then be trapped in the shoebox.
I'm just going to go fucking grab it and walk away.
He's right, though. It's pretty heavy.
Stupid fucking human.
I think he is.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take a dead mouse, put it in there, and take the potato out. Boy, will he be confused.
Ah, leprechaun. Freaking
leprechaun.
Oh, my God.
Better yet,
great.
I'm
going
to stuff that potato into that mouse.
Are we going to talk about
this? I don't know where to begin with whatever RJ's telling me in the chat room. He's telling some fucking crazy-ass story. Tins, can you make heads or tails of this?
You know, it's just nuts.
My uncle egged Santa one time. and then proceeds to tell a story how there's like a Santa running around in the backyard, and then he egged him. And then came back inside, or he's like, looks like we're probably not getting a dog from Santa this year.
Oh,
it sounds like just so he didn't have to buy a dog for his son.
Oh, he staged all of this.
Oh my
so
god.
Oh my goodness, sorry.
Was there a reason for him egging the Santa?
No, only, the kid wanted a dog. That there was a Santa that would run in the backyards one day.
Is this RJ? Did RJ want the dog?
No, I don't think so. This is his uncle, and so his uncle. So the kids wanted a dog, and Spud, but they didn't get one. So he ran out and egged Santa. But when he ran through, came back in and went. Looks like we're probably not getting a dog from Santa. He also shot the mailman with a BB gun for not delivering mail once.
Wow! Took off work for that one and dumped a bucket of water on himself to make it look like he was in the shower and not shooting him with a baby gun.
Are you kidding?
He's nuts, but awesome. The video is hilarious.
We'll
put it online, RJ.
Wow!
Oh my god!
Wow!
Am I the only one? It was December 9th, and it was Saint Nicholas Day. Anyone do this?
You know, I know of this, but I've
never
done
this. You give away a shoe?
You put a shoe outside your door, and you wake up on the 10th, and...
Well, we did it on, like, January
the 9th or whatever.
6th.
It was that's like,
Three Kings Day.
That's different.
And it was just, like, full of candy.
We used to be in Spanish class, and we put our shoes out in the hallway... And it was filled with candy. We came back.
It was filled with awesome. Sea fried beans.
What well, have you ever done the May Day thing? Like the night before the first day of May, you put a flower on the like a doorstep of someone you like or a good friend or something, and then on May they open up the door and there's a flower.
No, well I've never heard of that.
You could pretty much do that with any. Like I would start my own holiday with my kids and just have like
yeah,
a bucket of muffins outside their room one day.
Muffin day. Muffins
tonight,
are all
tonight. Put a hot dog under the cat.
So you can get the cat and catch the cat, put a hot dog on
it, and then in the morning you'll have a bucket of muffins. Better go to sleep, kids. Muffin Merv is gonna come tonight.
That is hilarious.
Better catch the cat.
Muffin Merv is just that stupid Andy Sandberg character. I know he's not real.
So am I nice to know.
What's this Christmas pickle? Is that a thing?
I'm yeah, dude, my family Nicholas does that.
Yes, you leave a cucumber in a jar of vinegar.
That's what it is. So far, that's the best one I got. Is it not that?
What my family does, and I don't know what it originally was, is something with like a pickle-shaped, we have a pickle-shaped ornament for the tree.
Okay.
And you hide it somewhere, and then on Christmas morning, whoever finds the pickle ornament gets like an extra present. But I felt like this was horribly unfair because that's I can't bullshit. See very well. So I never found the pickle ornament.
Oh.
So I just, instead of like, so what I did was I just made sure that there was no unfair present getting for myself. I just ruined the pickle ornament for them by making it that whoever found the pickle ornament just got to open the family gift instead of getting something for themselves.
How did you do that? Did you just bitch and moan until they did it?
Yeah, it's not really hard when you're like, I'm disabled and can't play this game, and now I get less presents for it.
How old were you?
Probably it's like true. 12, 13.
Oh, shit. So you had enough of a reason.
Yeah, I was furious.
Oh my goodness!
That's I support you, Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
I would stand behind you for that pickle ornament debacle.
It was, but like the game is like a fun game. You know, assuming everyone can play.
Well, does anyone do? I don't know what it's called, but where you exchange gifts. Like you get a gift.
Secret Santa?
Is that what
White Elephant?
White Elephant. White
Elephant. It's like you can take someone else's gift or
Dirty Christmas.
Dirty Christmas.
Yeah.
I found out about that through The Office, and I was like, that's a thing? That's a real thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Yeah, we do that in my family on Christmas Eve, because you get a shitty gift. Everybody brings like a shitty gift, or like something that they would not want, but
under a price limit, like $10 of garbage.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. And so, like, but some of the garbage is not that terrible a garbage. Like
one man's trash is another man's pretty cool toy thing.
Yeah, like the silver platter we have actually. Mm-hmm. Somebody just like, well, it's not really, it's silver colored. It's really like tin or something.
Nice.
But that was and God. I think the garden sign that we have in the window.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also from another Christmas.
Yeah, my wife and I do that with each other every year.
I stole that for my brother Brian.
It's fun. It's fun.
That's what we do now.
You two get each other like the dumbest gift possible for each other, right?
Yeah, we try to outdo each other and just get the stupidest or like weirdest thing that you can come up with.
What was last year's again?
She got me a cross-stitch kit of E.T. And
phenomenal.
Like you have to do it yourself?
And yeah. And a Kevin Nash car air freshener.
Nice.
Wow, that's actually awesome.
Dude. Yeah. I love it because if you go through with the... Did you end up making the crochet?
No.
Come on.
I know, I mean to. It's still in the box. And I'm bad at that kind of stuff.
So it'd be great if you were working on that for 2 weeks, and like any time anyone visited, you'd have to explain
E.T.
That would be hilarious. Mom,
are you cross-stitching E.T.?
Wait, you got your air freshener, Big Sky?
Yeah, and what Kevin Nash was on your air freshener? Was it Diesel Kevin Nash? Was it like early NWO Kevin Nash?
Big Sexy Giant?
It was a long-haired, bearded man that I recognized as a Kevin Nash.
Okay.
And it said Kevin Nash. Enough.
That was probably WCW.
Did I ever tell you guys about the meanest Secret Santa gifts I ever got?
Uh-oh.
Is this another Game of Sorrow?
We are rolling Mark deep.
This is a tale of me being a huge asshole.
All right, these ones are always good. Yeah. Go ahead.
So we did like a Secret Santa for our speech team. Okay. And I got as my person one of the instructors, a super nice guy named Mr. Spore. Yeah. And I just thought, and for some reason, in just a complete lack of thought about, I just assumed, in a Chevy Chase moment, I thought I was going to be funny, and I was an asshole. So, because I was like, what, maybe can I give gifts that are also mean? So it was 5 days. We were supposed to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Monday and Tuesday, I didn't get him anything.
Aww.
Then on Wednesday, I got him like a woman's bikini. That's just like really ugly.
Was this your senior year? Because I think I remember this.
Yeah, he got very upset by the end. I got him a woman's bikini that was like very oversized, and also not the right gender, and was very ugly and floral, from a resale shop, and then the next day I got him a copy of the book Fit or Fat.
Oh, no.
Oh my god!
But I just circled the word fat.
Oh man.
He's going for the throat, man.
Well, and why did you do it, though?
And
why did you do it? There's an instructor.
There's another one.
Oh my god, Mark! Mark is ours.
This is and for the last day, I went into the social studies office and just.
Oh no!
Oh, no.
I love you, Doug.
I just opened a can of dog food.
Oh my god. Oh, Mark steals the podcast.
See, RJ, Mark's got it for sure. You did what?
I opened the can of dog food and put a spoon in it.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's fucking gold, Mark.
Did he know it? Did he find out that it was you?
He did because he was so furious. He demanded to know.
I can't imagine why.
Why did you do it? Why? I don't understand.
I don't, because I thought it would be funny.
You thought it would be good? Oh, man.
And you're right, man.
Just for this moment.
It was very funny.
It was like, it was just, it was funny for everyone else because, but just the price on him was so high.
You didn't even get him anything for the first couple of days.
Did you get him anything, like, some broccoli or something?
No, I got him the first 2 days, so like on Wednesday, because like I thought it was going to be really funny, and on Wednesday he was like, I heard him asking, like, who's got me? I think they might be putting it in the wrong place, or maybe they just forgot.
Mark, would you call, like, your senior year of high school your rebellious year, the year where you passively egged cars, stripped out in choir?
Wait, we back up.
Wait.
You, Mark. I helped him with the passively
How do you passively egg a car?
Oh, it's great.
Well, you don't want to be responsible for egging it. So what you do is you take eggs, put them behind the tires of a car that's parked somewhere that it has to reverse out.
Are you shitting me? That's the lamest thing I've ever heard.
No, because we did it to a friend of ours.
It did not. That does nothing.
Who didn't want to hang out with us because he found some girlfriend, and Mark and I were like, well, fuck that. We have Halo.
It doesn't do anything.
No, it did something. Let me tell you the story.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
This was suggested to me in college to do to my
Steve, a friend of ours, a week later, we were the second semester of high school, and he was like, hey, does my car smell like rotting egg?
Oh, my God.
And I forgot we did it.
That was actually our second attempt. Our first was sugaring someone's car.
Yes!
Which is an awful idea.
Like in the gas tank?
You don't put it in the gas tank.
No.
Oh my god.
Oh, it destroys the car.
No, you just take like sugar packets from, you know, some restaurant. And you just open them up like over the top of the car in the windshield. The problem with this is if it rains, the sugar will what do they call that? Like saturate in the water and then just dry as this like brownish sticky goop.
Steve did not like that one either.
We were trying to find like just creative ways of pranking.
These are criminal acts. Just jerks.
Mischievous. We've done this story before, and I don't mean to embarrass Mark, but I just want to expose kind of like Q&A this kind of like your rebellious, you know, criminal phase of being 17 going on 18. There's a matzo ball fight in our elementary school that we had.
Matzo fight, yeah.
The matzo fight we had.
It was like after Passover, they sell like all the matzo super cheap.
It's just crackers, right?
Yeah, basically. I love it. So we just bought like every person just bought like 3 pounds of matzo. We went out to like a playground and just had a giant matzo fight.
That's actually awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It rained the next night, and then it was just littered with matzo. And then did they find us? Did they find you? Did the cops find you? No?
Well, now they know.
Were the cops on the case?
I thought you got in trouble by the cops for this.
We ran away from them when they came around. Oh, that's right. The thing that made it embarrassing is, like, it blended in with the wood, except then when it rained, all the wood chips got really dark, but the matzah got really light. No. So it was very easy to see.
Oh, my goodness.
So someone... troublemakers.
So there's just a lot of pigeons for the next couple of days? Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean...
I ended up all right.
It didn't really cause any harm, and I think that's why the cops have stopped following me.
Nice.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
There are, like, random points in high school where... Like, I wasn't rebellious, but I would find myself with groups of rebellious people and just be like, oh no, I'm stuck on this adventure. Like, I have to go with what they do, I guess.
You know what my big adventure was in elementary school? Because I was a lamer kid in elementary school, so I hung out with other lamer kids. But in sixth grade, for whatever reason, a couple of the, like, pretty cool kids asked me if I wanted to do something and hang out. I'm like, man, yeah. This is my shot. You know what we did on our adventure?
Oh, no.
We went to the movie theater and we saw Bean, and that was it.
I love Bean.
That's just hanging out, Tim.
I know, but for me, it was like this is a new group of people. This is a chance to start anew.
Did you bring your compass, Tim's?
I did. I brought my map. I brought my goggles, just in case.
Did you buy them all popcorn?
No, yeah. I didn't. It ended up just being us hanging out, and I'm like...
I was hoping they were going to try to get you to buy them all.
No, they didn't like. They didn't like beat me up in the parking lot after the movie was over.
Oh, that's my favorite elementary school story.
What?
It was in the seventh grade, and I just started going to school there. I transferred, and so I was kind of. It was after only a few months. It was still nice out. It was probably 2 months into school, so I kind of knew like I was getting like acclimated with the school and the kids, and it was in seventh grade, and there was one time where I walked home with these kids all the time because we had the same way, and there was like five of us walking for a few blocks, and then we noticed a bunch of eighth graders like just walking behind us, and then we noticed two like walk in front of us like just from a side street, and then they all just started running for us, and we're like, oh my god, what do we do? And we just start running, and this other kid was like, I don't think they're going to do anything, so he slowed up and they just tackled the shit out of us. And we looked back and we were like, oh my god, and they just started like beating the shit out of him. It was not like really hard, but enough. So we're all running, and one by one, everyone gets picked off, and it's down to like me and this other kid. And he's like, dude, you can make it. We're like across a four-way street or like a four-lane street, and I'm trying to run to safety, and safety is Wendy's, like, because they can't get me in Wendy's.
Oh my god!
So
yeah, that's dude. The rule.
Sanctuary.
He was like, you can make it, and he literally ran towards them. And I'm like, dude, Donnie, no, stay here. And they grab him, and they start beating him up, and I'm like, I have no choice. I start running, and then the kids chase me, and I just barely make it. I was the last one.
You had a choice, LP.
I did have a choice,
you
man.
You made your choice.
I did, and you know what? I'm here to
save yourself.
Tell my story,
Johnny.
Yeah, first one down was Pierre.
Can I get five pieces?
Weren't they after beating up all the kids just wait outside the Wendy's for you?
Oh no, because we were all meeting there anyway, because one of the kids we were walking with, his aunt was like the manager of it, so we were gonna go and get like free chicken tenders. And eventually they all met up with me and they were like, yeah, they just kind of punched me a little, it wasn't too bad.
Run, run, oh, get free chicken tenders.
I fell through fire and through ice, LP.
Fly, LP.
I am now Johnny the White. Get me a Whopper.
Are these any Rock, people wrong, I know guys. That can corroborate this story?
John O'Toole is one of them, actually.
Really?
John? Of Old West Family Photo.
Yeah.
He hid in a parking lot on the way, thinking they wouldn't find him, and they all found him.
Sure enough, they beat the shit out of him.
They didn't, they just kind of attacked.
Or middle school, John O'Toole?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. He's awesome.
What a small world.
Yep.
What a swell guy.
He is. Yeah. He's awesome.
Hey, did, Christmas, right? Did any of you guys go to Midnight Mass ever?
I always had to, because when my sister was in junior high, she was in the bell choir.
Oh,
you know, she wore the gloves and played the bells.
Mm-hmm.
So cute.
And she always had to do Midnight Mass, so I always had to go and sit at Midnight Mass.
Yeah, my family always did it, probably like for
8 to 10 years until I guess everyone just got tired of doing it, I suppose.
Now, did you open presents before or after, or did you have to just go to bed and wait?
What we typically did, we would go to midnight mass, and then like sort of as a reward for having to sit through midnight mass, you'd get to open a present, and then you'd have to wait on the other ones. But I remember it pretty vividly because we went through midnight mass one time and we got to open our present, and it was Wild Wild West. And our parents let us stay up the night before Christmas morning and just watch all of Wild Wild West.
I'm sorry.
Wow. When did it finish then?
Like 3:30.
Yeah, probably about 3:30.
Oh my god.
Because so midnight mass starts at midnight, goes to like what 1:30, and then
yeah.
1:30.
When is Santa gonna come?
Yeah. Yeah,
what the fuck?
I believe that was after we stopped believing. Because otherwise we'd question where that one present came from.
At least you started believing in God and went to church instead.
Yeah, I guess.
Did anyone else sing in their church choir? I'm doing that when I was little.
No. Makula, we all see you walking through the room.
I don't
all
make right. any noises you can, with the squeaky squeaks.
You can make some
you're
footballs.
Being more distracting by slowly walking.
Like you're on the
tightrope. It's got to be.
Were you going to blow dart him?
Yeah, I was a booby trap.
Yeah. I was close to tackle you.
If I had my shoes on, I'd put my socks over my shoes. Snake Wood and Metal Gear Solid, a great Christmas present I got in 7th grade.
Actually, I think I got Metal Gear Solid for Christmas too. I remember I played that forever.
Awesome. Yeah, it's fun.
That got me through the whole next year. It was great.
Christmas was all about, and even birthdays when I was a kid, it was always about video games
and
systems.
Oh god, yes.
Yeah. Speaking of birthdays, Brian, did you, I don't know if it's happened to you, but I made out like a bandit on my birthday when I was younger, because my parents would do January 29th is my birthday, my parents would do all my birthday shopping the day after Christmas when everything went on sale again. And I made out, it was
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, awesome. I was like, you know, I got the sewer place and I got the Ghostbuster house and everything, because they're like, it's $8, get it.
You know,
I hope that happened to you.
A little bit. The difficult thing for me and for my parents was my birthday, you know, it's 6th of January.
That's true.
So it's very close.
So
they would have to
too
plan.
Close.
So, you know, sometimes my mom would... I have a feeling it helped. I can say that. You might have seen a little bit more benefit than I did, but I have a feeling it helped a little.
You're just lucky. Some of those... I know some people who have a birthday, like, right around Christmas. And they don't get...
It's kind of shitty.
And they don't get... Yeah, they don't get birthday presents and Christmas presents. They get Christmas presents.
Isn't that like... Isn't Josh Christmas Eve?
Yeah, Josh Everybody forgets Josh. That's why we had the whole birthday
month. Everyone
forgets
Josh.
They do. It just happens that way. I actually, since my birthday is so close to Christmas and New Year's, I rarely celebrate my birthday in, like, a large celebration. On my actual birthday, even with my family, we would have my birthday celebration like after my birthday because it was more convenient. I don't know. I just Christmas is just such a Leviathan.
What use of the word Leviathan?
I used to get. I used to really downplay Hanukkah. Because Hanukkah was usually before Christmas, and your parents, like, they don't want to give you the best presents first. So I'd always get, like, all the lame presents for Hanukkah, and then everything great was for Christmas. And it totally conditioned me to like Christmas more.
What?
Yeah, it would.
What's an example of a lame Hanukkah present?
A lot of clothing stuff, like socks. Nice socks.
Because the first one...
Pretty lame.
Because the first gifts are supposed to be little, and it's supposed to get bigger and bigger.
I'd get, like, my grandparents would usually have a decent gift. Like, did you ever sit down and... Maybe not sit down, like, with a calculator, but did you ever add up the total, like, value of all of your Christmas presents?
Absolutely.
I still do it.
No.
Do you know, like, did you ever realize, like, some of your friends were just get, like, I had a friend who would get, like, three times the Christmas present value that I would.
Yeah.
No,
like, close to $1,000, I think, every year he would get.
That's a lot.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
He would get, like, especially when we started hitting high school, because he did music stuff, he would get, like, an amp. He would get, like, it just, and I, like, he couldn't be mad, because, like, I would come over and play with all of it, but But I was always like, how? And his family is well off, you know, yeah, nicer than
the
mine.
The kids
but
that I knew that were like that, Mark, their parents generally gave them those gifts that we all could enjoy. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I don't know, I don't want to say like rich parents are hip with the gifts in that way, but like, I always felt that those kids that got the awesome shit, it was always something that, like, when I came over, we could
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, that's
together.
A good point. I had a lot of friends like that, too.
It was like that. They were more togetherness gifts than, like, me by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I was psyched for the gifts my friends got. Mm-hmm. It's like, sweet. That sounds fun.
That was
yeah,
some
no,
of the
that's
most,
what we
that
were
was, like,
playing.
Some of the most fun things was going over your friends and sharing in their gifts.
That's mm-hmm. why me and Christopher would call each other every single mm-hmm. Christmas.
Yeah.
And just be like, all right, what did you make out with? What did I make out with? Sweet, what can you bring over?
Yeah.
Or what will I bring over? I don't think I can bring that over. It's too big. It's too expensive. Stuff like that.
You gotta come over and yeah. check out my 6-in-1 game table. Holy shit.
Oh my god. Keith,
I never
I
knew any kid
for that game table.
Was it the one the air hockey thing?
Everything.
Everything.
I never got that.
I got that.
That was so difficult to get. My parents had to get a hookup from a dude that worked at Toys R Us that was friends with my cousin Joe Runawicki.
Really?
Yeah.
Joe Runawicki.
Joe Runawicki. Yeah, that was
a ridiculous thing.
That was the only. Hey, Joe's been to an Octavarius show. Yeah, actually.
Basketball.
But yeah, you oh, had the you that was it Fisher Price. I'm so trying to remember what brand it was. But
probably
it was,
the first
but
one.
Yeah,
was,
it had
yeah.
it could do everything. It was a game table that had ping pong, air hockey,
it had
billiards, pool,
basketball.
Keith,
what?
Oh, I didn't have basketball.
Keith,
mine had
basketball. I'm surprised your parents didn't make you make a 6-in-1 game table.
Or no, you know what? It didn't have basketball.
Yeah.
I made it have basketball.
Mine didn't have basketball.
I made a basketball thing with it, yeah.
Lauren, did you ever collect like certain Barbies or have certain girls? Because I know they're like a lot of collectibles.
Yeah, what were big girl presents? Because we had video games, and those are like $40, $50 chunks of your present money.
I had different phases. I remember one Christmas, it was all about Tweety Bird for my cousin and I. Just everything we got, we were like, I just want Tweety stuff.
I went through a Tweety phase too.
What's the deal with Tweety?
I don't know, it's like a phase. Girl
yeah, you gotta love Tweety.
And then I found out it was a guy, and I'm like, oh, that's not even like a girl.
Oh, fuck this.
What
so,
is this?
But like, when you go through a phase like that, so you're saying like, you want all Tweety Bird things. It'd be like shirts,
Snickers,
hats.
Pajamas.
I got a bird, and I named him Tweety.
What? Like an actual live bird?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Oh, goodness. Did anyone get, like, know anyone got, like, a fucking huge, like, a car or some shit for Christmas?
I knew people that got them for
birthdays. Barbie car. I never got it.
Yeah, like, the actual one you ride around?
Power wheel thing.
Or,
oh, we've talked about that.
My
that's
neighbor's
stuff.
Like,
I wanted it, too. I never got it, either.
Dude. I wanted that so bad.
Oh,
did.
Really?
God damn
it. I asked for a hoverboard and I was crushed when I did not get it.
Oh, man.
Aww.
I was like right at that age where I was just about to find out about Santa, but still couldn't quite grasp that he can't just make things that aren't
did
real.
You guys ever have like okay, like let's say you have your snotty, everyone's got their one morning, Christmas morning, we wake up and you're kind of a little snotty because you got socks. And you wanted, like, the Jurassic Park
oh,
T-Rex.
Yeah, of
yeah,
course.
And
yeah.
then you've got your crazy aunt, if you're Nick Mikula, goes, you should be lucky. In the Depression, all we got was oranges. It's the third grade Christmas. The worst Christmas morning of my life. I was like, oh, guess I shouldn't complain about the Great Depression and you guys got oranges.
You got a pretty old aunt, Mikula. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was stuck in Cleveland,
just a liar.
Too. It was it's horrible.
Well, see, now my struggle is that I ask for socks and like
I
other necessities, and they get me like cheap bullshit instead.
No.
Like, go get me things that like we saw this and it was funny, so we thought we'd give it to you as a stocking stuffer. But it was like $8. I'm like, yeah, but I was serious. I need like some socks.
Because Stella and I were talking about that. We're like, I didn't know what I wanted for Christmas this year, and I was talking to my roommates about it. And Stella and I were talking. We're like, isn't it lame that 10 years ago we would never ask for clothes, and that's exactly what we do now?
Dude, I ask for a suit.
No, I ask for socks.
Shit's expensive.
Yeah. I want shoes, black and brown.
Yeah. Best you guys ask. Black and brown. Oh my gosh, that's great.
I would like coat. Heavy coat, raincoat, light coat.
New coat.
Nick.
That's what I want as an adult. A suit, possibly one that is fly.
Do you guys do?
You can't trust your parents to have that kind of sense of taste.
Dude, my question is, you know, what budget is? Because if the budget is for fly suit, no, I'm going to take a suit that's fly.
Don't you feel awkward, though, being like, how much are you going to spend on me?
I'm totally not going to say that at all. I'm going to let them pick. I will be with my mother. My mother, I'll be like, what do you think about this? And then if she likes something more expensive, she'll show her hand.
All right.
I will take whatever I am given if the suit happens to be fly.
Yeah, my mom almost bought me like a $600 coat at Macy's.
What?
Oh, yeah. I don't
well, we
shop
looked
there.
At it. We
I go
looked
like,
at it.
And
my
I'm
mom,
talking like,
quotation mark, seriously was like, well, put it on. I'm like, what? No. There's one for like $100 just over there. It's the same coat. It's like, it was nothing special or discernible about this coat. It was a pea coat.
It was fly.
It wasn't even that fly, to be honest with you. It was a normal pea coat. Like, it was just black and it had buttons. That was it. And then it was just like, well, put it on. I'm like, oh, okay.
Probably lined with Kevlar or something.
No, I don't know what it was.
I got a pretty sweet one. I had a struggle with my parents a few years ago when I asked for a cast iron skillet, which I got, which was awesome. And I asked for just a kitchen knife, like a chef's knife. But they were taking me to Williams Sonoma and looking at like $90 knives. And I'm like, I don't want a $90 knife. I just want a good knife. That's like $20, and you can use that $50 and get me something else. Mm-hmm. Don't spend like 90 to 70 to, it was 75 is the one they ended up getting, and I was like, you shouldn't have done this. I would have been fine with 15. Like,
do you still have that?
Yes.
I want to see this
but
knife.
You know what I use? Biwo's knife.
Really? How much was
the
your
one
knife
that came
Biwo?
With your set, isn't that your set?
No, that's Tinsley's.
That's yours. I used that one then.
Good knife.
It's good knife. It's just as good as mine.
That was a pretty expensive set, though. It was a good set of knives. That's the thing. As adults, we like the like real practical
things, you know?
Get stuff currency.
God, I love a good knife.
We have it the
worst,
right?
I do love my knife set.
Dude, if I got like a knife, like a sweet like 8-piece cookware set, man, it'd be game over.
Dude,
awesome. I'd love that.
The medium saucepan I got. Like,
oh,
you know, it's copper bottom. It's fabulous. I love this saucepan.
You know what I would love, actually? Is a set of golf clubs. But I wouldn't know how to
and
use them.
And a caddy to go with them. Well, what would you ever do, LP?
I don't know. I don't want to know what to do.
LP, check out Cloud's Golf Tips.
I guess that means it's time for...
The Legends of Golf Tips. And they're off.
When your golf ball gets stuck in the sand, just pour a bunch of water on top of it. Then it'll be easier to hit back onto the course.
And they're done.
I'm not sure if that's good advice.
I think
that
no,
is.
It's
actually,
good.
It sounds like it's good advice.
Yeah, it's good.
Advice. Wouldn't it be like a quicksandy?
No, it'll clump.
Oh, it'll clump. Yeah,
this
it'll
is the first
clump,
time
and then you'll actually have a strong surface to wedge it out against.
This is the first time it hasn't been something
legal.
Against your opponent,
yeah.
Or some sort of magic, or yeah, enhancing your balls and clubs.
Tips of gold.
I know that.
Every one of them.
Apply
them.
Okay.
All right, folks. We are just about at the end of the hour here. But again, if you're listening live on Octavarius.com, that means this Sunday is our second Die Hard show of our Die Hard trilogy. This week is Die Hard 2, A Die Hard Carol. So check those out. If you're not listening live, that means you still have time to make the third one, Die Home with Aloneness.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
So ridiculous.
Both are going to be great, and one of them was.
And that means we're just about out of here, but not without a little bit of
Nick Pagula's Seven Words of Wisdom.
Oh, gee. I really... wanted to.
That was
Nick McCool's
seven words of wisdom.
Did we count as one?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. But he really
he said
meant
I twice.
Yeah, he ummed a lot.
The last couple
of
weeks you've been so great. What happened?
I was trying to think of a way to. Was that okay? I mean, we got to clear things up. We were talking about the six tables and one sports arcade table thing that Keith had. Yeah. I was like, I want one for the apartment. We just looked it up, and it was
it's like $600 to $800.
Ooh, I would still help pay, but I mean, I really want one.
That's what I'm good one. Line.
Yeah,
but I've been really thinking about that for the last 5 minutes.
We probably have to assemble it ourselves.
It's 7 feet long, right here.
I'll assemble it for you.
Oh, yeah, we can kind of help you help. Assemble a table.
Oh, yeah, we can do it.
Is that like an adult size version?
Yeah, like
not so it's not like plastic Fisher Price.
Please get the one that has a skee ball.
The one that was Fisher Price.
I'm gonna get one that has basketball in it.
Dude, if you get,
can we make our apartment into GameWorks?
Oh, that'd be cool.
The one machine that needs to be changed.
Stat.
To be continued, probably. With that, we got to get out of here, but check us out, as always, on Octavarius.com. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Octavarius. And until next time, have 8 days in a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Octavarius.com.
Don't run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.
So what games is basketball, skee-ball, pool?